we are living in an artificially induced state of consciousness that resembles sleep. The poor and the underclass are growing. Racial justice and human rights are non-existent. We have been lulled into a trance. They have made us indifferent to ourselves, to others. We are focused only on our own gain. That is their primary method of survival. Keep us asleep, keep us selfish, keep us sedated.
You're listening to Toward Anarchy on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Here's your host, Michael Storm.
Always, it is wonderful this time that we get to spend together. I truly do appreciate that you take the time. Believe me, that's from the bottom of my heart. I appreciate the time that you invest, all the coming back and downloading the episodes and watching. If I can just get you to do one more thing real quick before we jump into the show, click that like button. It's the single biggest thing that you can do for me aside from just send me your money. You could just send me your money. I'm not that hard to find. I don't hide. I'll take the like. I've done the research. It's like 10% of people click that like button. Millions of people will watch and enjoy a thing and love it and talk about it, and they will fail to click that like button. So please do that for me. I truly appreciate it. Wherever you're finding me at today, click that like button. You can subscribe and follow along as well if you're inclined to do so. It's at Toward Anarchy on Facebook and Instagram and X and on YouTube and just about everywhere else. In fact, if it's not at Toward Anarchy, it's probably not me, unless of course it's me, Michael Storm. But that's even noticeable nowadays because I have a little check mark next to my name in most of the places that I'm at. It's that quality assurance, I guess. I don't know. I'm not sure what it is, but it is a cute little blue check mark, and it's supposed to supposedly confirm that I'm me. We won't go into the longer conversation about who I am or who the internet may think I am, these social media sites. And interestingly enough, because that's what I'm going to talk about today a lot, in fact, because it is very much central to the idea of shadow bans. And I wanted to tackle the subject for some time now. If you go to towardanarchy.com, it'll be episode 2633, just for the record there, and all the usual links and things will be up there, a quote, a meme for you to share. But the conversation, my thoughts on shadow ban, and why do you care what my thoughts are on shadow ban? Well, because I'm a person who has reach. I have a platform. I am platformed. I have a technical understanding of these things, these services, these websites, these social media. I understand how algorithms work. I understand how code works. I understand what it is that they're doing in the background. Most people, you see what is in front of you. You see what's in that screen. You see that end result, and you don't really have any concept of, and that's fine. It's not a slight on you at all, but it may leave you lacking an understanding of something that you interface with on a regular basis in a lot of cases. And by you, I mean most people. I'm not even picking on you. I'm talking about most people. They don't know what it is that's going on in the background with the computers, and there is no, you know, there's no understanding when people use certain language and talk about certain things, especially somebody like myself who has larger reach than most people. Again, this is all relative. I don't have millions of followers. I wouldn't want millions of followers, I don't think. I think that would be very scary to have millions of followers. I'm sure I would deal with it one way or another as it comes. And I have, as it's grown exponentially over the years, of thousands and thousands of people. There's somebody listening to my voice every single minute of every day. Somebody's listening to an episode. Somebody's watching an episode. Somebody's catching one of the few shorts, listening to one of my commentaries on a comic book. There's something. Somebody is out there sort of ingesting my stuff all the time, and part of the reason that is because of what I understand with the technology, and I do understand how to reach people, and I do understand that there are limitations, and that there are things that I have to do, and that there are things that I have no control over when it comes to my presence out there on the social media. And short of investing a lot of money in each of these sites to be prominently featured and understood and guaranteed and proven, I spend the minimal. I mentioned the little blue checkmark thing. I think I have the checkmark now on X, and I have the checkmark on Facebook. And I pay the minimum. You know, it's just a habit. It's just that it's their guarantee, I guess, that I'm a real person on the other end, and that's it. That's the only thing they're guaranteeing. And that's perfectly fine with me, because I think in these days it's important to point out who a real person is and who isn't, because the sort of AI and digital presentations and the slop that everybody is talking about is massive. There's a lot of it out there because it sells. It's easy. People are simple, and they don't pay attention to where their things and their thoughts are coming from in a lot of cases. And so we end up with confusion all across the board in the social media space and in the use of computers and what it is they can do and how people can use them to better improve their presence on the social media. And I'm not talking about like marketing things or stuff like that's exactly what I'm not talking about. I'm just talking about being a decent person and having that doesn't get called out for constantly rage baiting people or by calling them racist or something stupid, calling them racist names, things like that, being racist towards them, being particularly nasty towards people and directing hate at them. That's going to get you flagged no matter what across these. I'm just talking about just being a decent person and having some understanding of the technology so that you can use it to your advantage to better position yourself, either to be seen or to see the stuff that you want to see when you're browsing on the social media. If you're browsing through Facebook, looking at your wall, or X, looking at your wall, whatever it is, and you're scrolling through there and you don't understand how those things are being fed to you, and you're frustrated because you're not seeing the people you want to see. You're seeing this ad, you're seeing this sponsorship for some person that you don't even know who it is, but it is just some person, and maybe it's somebody one of your friends follows, and you have no interest in them. You don't even know. You don't even understand how that got there. Well, I'm going to try to give you a little bit of sense without getting into technology, getting into the specifics of it, because we could break down the ones and the zeros quite literally. I'm capable of doing that, but I don't think that does you any good. The average person that hears the word shadow ban from maybe somebody they listen to, you know, I'm going to use the phrase shadow ban as a way to attract attention to promote this episode, and it'll look like I'm being shadow banned. That's how I'll push it out there, but of course I'm not. I don't believe there's no reason to believe that I'm being shadow banned. And so I'll kind of talk about myself, and that's I have an audience that and it's been recognized recognized by the social media sites themselves, that I've been offered journalism connections, things like that through the social media sites. And it's all about the number of people that I reach, not necessarily even just the number of people that follow me specifically or that are my, quote, friends. It's the reach. The reach is in the five to six figures, the high five to beginning six figures, I would think, without even trying, through the network, through Republic Broadcasting, support Republic Broadcasting, republicbroadcasting.org, click that donate button there. It doesn't benefit me. It benefits the network, and it's a free speech platform. That's one of the conversations in the shadow ban, right? That's one of the things that comes up, that it's about free speech. So there are a lot of questions, and I think I have the tools and the understanding and the reason to give you a picture about what these things are and make a sense of what the most important questions are. And really, there's only one that matters, and that's why. Somebody says, I've been shadow banned, and ask them why. I do it all the time. I ask people why. Why do you think he or they or you have been shadow banned? And I've never been given a specific answer. When they've been banned, when they've been blocked, they can produce a piece of content that they put out there that has been, that caused them to be in trouble. But in the sense of them saying, well, I've been shadow banned, people aren't seeing my posts, their general feeling, there's no specifics, nobody's ever provided me specific information to suggest that there's a reason that they've been shadow banned. It's always, well, maybe because the somebody somewhere doesn't like what I'm saying. It's the investors, it's the other people that are reporting my page, it's anybody else but themselves. And so the question is, why? Why would I be shadow banned? And I'm not going to sit here and tell you, just be real clear about this, I'm not going to sit here and tell you definitively that I know, because I don't. I don't definitively know a lot of things that I talk about, but I try to put a logical sense to them and a technological sense, 53 years on the planet sense, happily married, successful children, successful life, and business, blah, blah, all these things, but without being somebody that does have a million followers or millions of dollars in the bank. I'm just generally successful. I'm the kind of successful that anyone can be if they have the right attitude about life and maybe some of the right tools to help navigate it. And some, you know, I had to learn most of those myself, but I had a pretty good tool set to start with. And so I've taken it upon myself to take my understanding of a lot of things and share it with people, and I've done it for years, so why would this be any different, especially when it comes to technology? I think there's a reason to listen to me, because I can tell you how code works, and I can tell you how algorithms work, and then we can talk about maybe some of the follow-up questions, what purpose does it serve to shadow ban somebody, and who does it serve, for that matter, the cui bono, right? How does somebody get shadow banned? What is the technology that would shadow ban somebody, the tech controls, and who controls the tech, for that matter? If you can't answer definitively, and none of these people that I've ever asked have been able to, sometimes they're able to sort of point to numbers, but numbers can be relative, and I'll discuss that as we go along too. But they can't, if you can't answer those questions definitively, if you can't answer why I would be shadow banned, asking yourself, then it's kind of an Occam's razor thing that suggests that it's probably something else, right? So I'm here to just tell you what the something else probably is most of the time, as opposed to what so many people would say is this nefarious, very specific attack on them as an individual to silence them, to suggest that they don't have a right to their voice. And so I'm looking at this thing from a technological and a logical standpoint, the way I always do. And with all other things considered, those are the manipulations and the things that are beyond our control. And there's nothing that we can really truly do about the manipulations, and so I suggest that they're just outside the scope of our conversation, and that we're just considering the basic idea of being shadow banned. And a lot of people, they argue that the state controls a lot of technology, and they do in many roundabout ways. It's not a lot of direct control over it, aside from individual owners and corporations that have vested interests in political parties themselves. Again, this is something, this is one of those things that we're not going to be able to control. And so it's almost a moot point. We realize, we know that the state is out there and it's in control of everything. It's been in control of the television stations and the cable stations and the radio stations, the broadcast stations, the terrestrial ones. And the satellites, and it's in the sky as well. It's been in control of them since at least 1995. They've had the ability to literally just break in to any registered, any approved communication system. There's a way for them to take it over and broadcast whatever they want. So if they want to take over and they want a certain message out there, they will absolutely put it out there. The rest of it is all sort of nefarious and probably directed very much at politics and politicians and pundits of politicians and rich people, particularly with a political leaning. And so, and then there are all those people that trickle down from those positions, and so they're less and less likely. The further you come down that list to sort of normal people or commentators, and eventually get somewhere really, really close to the bottom, there's me, and then at the bottom there's like that other guy, and then and that's it. So by the time you get down to me, these controls and what they mean to somebody could certainly be lost on the average person, because they're not experiencing it, and they don't really know the technology, obviously, as I said before. So most of these people that are making these claims about being shadow banned, they're made by somebody with relatively unpopular political opinions or social opinions, right? And some probably large number of followers and friends. I don't know what the magic number is. I could just know that myself, with what little bit I have, I've already been approached as handled by the social media sites as somebody with a reach. I'm not on the YouTube level, but part of that has been because almost every episode that has ever aired of this particular program has not been on YouTube, and if it was put there later. I've really only been on YouTube putting stuff up there for the show for maybe 2 years now, and I make no real effort to do anything that I don't do anywhere else. I just put the content up there. I put it with some good names and some good keywords and things like that, and I let it get found. Every once in a while, a video hit 1,000 views, and sometimes they're just 30. And whatever. The website deals up so much data that I can't even keep track of it all. It actually is kept track of. I just don't look at it, but I see that it's there, and I see that it's a lot of data, and so there's a lot. I'm one of these people that at some point, somewhere along the way, the social media sites, or whatever their algorithms happen to be, they and whatever the setting is, that some number of them now look at me as something of an influencer. And it's funny because I think the Facebook page, something like digital creator, I think is what it says. And I remember the first time, I never noticed it. And then I remember the first time somebody said something to me. They were trying to make fun of me. Oh, you're a digital creator. And as if I had called myself a digital creator. And I said, I didn't call myself a digital creator. I didn't select that name for me. That's something that Facebook did once I reached a certain reach. Once I started speaking to a number of people, and it was obvious that I put out internet content, at least to their system, some way or another. I have this content going out, and I reach a lot of people. They eventually did it to me. I had nothing to do with it. And so they have their systems and their things that they go by and whatever those things are, they've been triggered for even me. And so I fall into this category of these people who could be shadow banned for the content, not just necessarily unpopular opinions, but the way that they're not the way that they're said. You know, so if you listen to the show over the years, I don't cuss every once in a while, a word or something like that, and you know, but no F bombs, and it's not something that I do. I try to make the show extremely accessible to anybody, but when it comes to my social media page, I'll drop an F bomb. I don't care. It's because it's just different. It's kind of like in print material and radio in general and broadcasting in general and the differences of them. In print material, you can say anything you want. You can basically print anything you want. Nobody has any say over it. But when it comes to sort of using the airwaves, there's all these restrictions and these things that the government says you can't say. Seven famous words and stuff like that. Topics that you can't have during certain times of the day and what have you. And so there are certain limitations. Obviously, on the internet, that's no longer a problem. But being a terrestrial radio guy, I've been through all that, too. So there's language. There's things that you can and can't say that are going to get you in trouble no matter what. But the unpopular opinions, those are the ones that people are thinking, oh, that's why I'm being shadow banned. Because my opinion about politics or about the transgender agenda or the right-wing Christian agenda or whatever it is, the gay agenda, there's always an agenda. There's my tennis shoe agenda because I'm trying to break in a new pair right now, custom, after all. They're so wonderful. If you've been around for years, you've heard me talk about shoes. I don't slack on shoes. I buy good shoes because they're one of those things. They're like blue jeans. I buy Levi's. I buy Wranglers. I buy quality if I'm wearing them, because the cheap ones don't last. And it's the same with the shoes. You can find good quality, cheaper shoes, no question about it. You can find even brand name shoes at decent or other prices, but you can't necessarily get them customized. I get my own colors. They say Toward Anarchy on the back of them. So is anybody is walking behind me in Walmart or something like that, or standing behind me at the gas station, I've only had them a day. And I've already had a number of comments from people, just the color of them, because there's a lot of yellow in them and black because of the colors. I've always loved the colors yellow and black anyway, because I grew up with my favorite car was the Oldsmobile 442, in particular, the Bumblebee colors, the yellow and black, and the yellow and black Attack, Striper, that was always one of my favorite bands. If you've ever seen my, growing up when I was a kid, I don't know, 11 years old, something like that. It was adjacent to things that I was familiar with, right? Having been raised in the church and everything, and so it was acceptable. It was metal, and it had a good positive message for the youth. But it was yellow and black, and that's what it really was. It just looked cool in yellow and black. But I got the shoes running around, there's always an agenda. That's my agenda, is to break in the new shoes. So the reasoning is that because of my agenda and my commentary on somebody else's agenda, that's why I don't get likes. It's not because that what I said wasn't accepted, that people didn't jive with it or whatever it was that I shared, that it just wasn't good. It's that they're silencing me, right? So I'll just tell you right up front here, if it's not obvious, I think it should be obvious. I'm pretty obvious about these things. I don't hide anything. Why would I? What's the point? I'm trying to be honest with people to get them to listen to the ideas and to take away the best thing that they want. So I'm always going to be honest, and there's just nothing. Why beat around the bush? You just go straight for the facts. And plus, I played around over my lifetime with the idea of catering to people's worldview. let's just say, and telling them what they want to hear in an effort to engage in a cross direction. You know, it's a reverse psychology thing or something like that, where I'm trying to get the conversation going from the other direction, not taking it head on. And that just doesn't work. I gave up on that. It doesn't work. I only speak straightforward and openly and only to people who want to listen. If you don't want to listen, shut it off. I don't care. Go away. I certainly don't want to hear what you have to think about why you don't want to listen or why you think I'm wrong or what wrong you think I've done to you by using my voice to talk about your agenda. So I just say it up front just to be real clear about it. Most of the shadow bans, most of what anybody is referring to as a shadow ban is easily explained as either some direct limitations on an account for violating the so-called community terms, the community standards or whatever they have, or for just generally otherwise doing things that trigger these automated systems, because it's all automated. There's very few people on the other side of it managing what's going on in terms of daily posts, and it's all done by algorithms, it's all done by computer, and if it has to be, it's reviewed by a person eventually, and they will filter things out like spam or other content that anyone is going to be flagged for, not just you, and it could be anything. It could be the language that you use. It could be you sharing it with too many pages or places or people at one time. Whatever it is, they're going to come up with whatever their rules are. But it's not attacking you. It's not just one person or group of persons. It's everybody. Everybody would be flagged for it and otherwise reduced in their reach, because that's what we're talking about when we're talking about shadow ban, is that the reach of their post has been reduced to nothing or next to nothing, or nobody's engaging with their posts and they just don't understand why, because all their other posts get a bunch of likes or what have you. But this one isn't for some reason. So now, all of a sudden, the content of this particular post is what has, even though I've said all these other things, even worse things, even more direct things, whatever, however somebody wants to phrase them, but it's this one thing that's going to get me shadow banned. Not just outright banned, not them just saying, hey, look, you don't do that, that's against our terms, you're banned, we're just going to quietly, you'll never even notice, nobody will notice, and they won't know what we're doing. And then that's how we'll just control their speech. Well, yeah and no, because you see that kind of stuff up front, right? If it's a terms violation, they just tell you it's a terms violation, and that's all there is to it. Other things might require some feedback from somebody. You know, somebody sees the post, or the person that you posted to on their wall, the response to the page that you responded to, they report your post. They report it as being offensive or violent or something. These are all things that are generally noticeable. It's very almost obvious, and there's little red flags, maybe literally, on your account somewhere that are saying you can't do this, you won't be able to do this for 72 hours or this for 24 hours or something, and it's obvious, and so no matter what, that's not a direct attack on you. That's a direct attack on your language. That's a direct attack on your abuse of the terms. For whatever reason, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if you think that you abuse the terms or if you think the terms are stupid. That's not the point. And it really doesn't help your case, because they are what they are. And you can either work within them and avoid doing that to yourself, or you can try to fight the system. I've watched people do it over the years. I bumped up against it. I've quoted lyrics, things that aren't me attacking somebody, or somebody will verbally attack me first, and I'll respond, and I'll get in trouble for it. It's that whole thing about this dude tapped me on the back of the head, and I turned around and smacked him, and they saw me. That I'm the one that got in trouble for it. It's the same old story, right? It's no different. And let's be frank about it. about it. Anything that's even remotely spelled out in the sort of community terms or their user agreement or whatever standards that the platform has set forth for you and holds all everybody to, not just you, but everybody, and it causes some sort of content reach that you have to be reduced, that's not a shadow ban. That's a violation of terms, period. It doesn't matter what it is. It doesn't matter how stealthily it's done or how overtly it's done. It is obvious. It's going to be obvious. There's a reason for it. And if it's in those terms, then it's not a shadow ban. It's a you're going to get banned. You're going to be in trouble. Your posts are going to be reduced. Your visibility is going to be reduced if you do these types of things. And you did those types of things, and now your visibility is reduced. And that's most of what we're talking about here, whether it's overt or whether it's very specific and they spell it out for you. Some of it obviously is less overt. And part of the reason for that is because of the idea that we're trying to let people have free speech. So they tried to twist it as tight as they could, and some places still do. Some places just outright refuse to let people sort of comment. That's kind of like MSN. They almost basically, if you use anything even remotely derogatory or as a key word that is, I don't know if it's offensive or triggering or whatever the standard is, but you can't use it. It doesn't meet community standards, and you can't even post it. They don't even let you post it. It just doesn't even happen. It's right there. It's right up front. But these other places like Facebook, they've gone through this. One, it's a social media site, so they're trying to get people to interact. They're trying to get you to go to your page and go through your page. They don't. The media and responses to particular stuff on like MSN to a particular article or something, they don't care about that. If they want your input and your feedback on that, they'll specifically give it to you. Otherwise, they don't care. They're just letting people run their mouths, and they can just say, you're not going to say those sorts of things in our community, or you won't participate in our community. And that's just it. You just either don't say those things or you don't participate. That's all there is to it. Facebook, Instagram, X, these other social media places, I assume they're out there. They're trying to find the space between controlling the conversation so that it doesn't become violent, aggressive, nasty, exclusive. They're trying to find that space between that and letting you say things, and letting you say things that are offensive to some people, to any peoples for that matter. So part of what we're experiencing in the so-called shadow ban space is actually a result of them trying to give more free speech. It's a wild thing to consider, but it's absolutely 100% true. And the fact is that there's probably no real shadow ban button. They can shut you down with a click or two, obviously, but there's not somebody sitting there with next to a button and going, that guy's opinions can't be seen, we have to block them. And that's not what the algorithm is doing either, unless it's looking for something within the terms. So there's no shadow ban button. There's not a button, but they can shut you off, obviously, in a couple of clicks. It's fairly obvious that they can do that. But they can also turn you back on in a couple of clicks if you argue your point with them, if you're allowed to. Again, something that they've tried to do and tried to provide over the years is that ability to argue that they have made a mistake and that they have to, not have to, but they should let you have your communication back and to be able to do what you want to do on their social media site. What's the content? What are these things? Why would somebody be constantly monitoring for necessarily political content? I can see it based, certain platforms and certain spaces. It seems like you might be able to find somebody, and obviously there's been some historically, but these people were willing to do it with coercions and threats from government. They didn't do it necessarily on their own. But there's some sites, some social media sites are they're politically motivated or politically driven, and so maybe they are looking for that type of content. I doubt very seriously that Facebook is. I think Facebook, you know, normal social media, just that everybody is subject to. There's not any significant reason why the Facebook would want to manage political speech. They seem to me over the years to be going out of their way to try not to manage political speech, and that's where I'm just talking about how there's this weird position and crossover in the technology and the implementing of the technology to try to allow people to have more free speech, but at the same time not allow people to be violent and just truly nasty to each other. And sometimes it fails across the board. Sometimes it works. It's all fine. Because all of this stuff sets a standard, because there's no real oversight, right? It's all these algorithms. It's all this hierarchy of algorithms trying to jockey for position and where you fall in to all that. It is altered by so many different things. It's altered by other people. It's altered by your input and your control of the system. But the ultimate goal of it all is to not have a particular bias from one idea to the next, so that the most people can communicate with each other in a relatively civil and decent manner. It's a fine line. It really is. If you're trying to manage your space to be friendly and inviting to everyone, you have to speak a certain way, and you have to choose not to behave in certain manners that are going to drive people away. And obviously, Facebook is trying to do that for everybody everywhere across the world, because they're trying to make money. They're trying to make it a product. They're trying to provide this space for other people to connect. They're trying to do all of these things and be all these things, these different things to different people, and it's tough. It's just like the algorithms trying to manage the data coming through there. It's all very tough. They just don't recognize a single function, and without parroting what they have to say in their sort of simple way about not directly manipulating content like that. I think I provided a pretty good example of why and how and what they're doing. There's just a lot of things involved in someone being able to see your content. That's what it comes down to. A lot of them are out of our control as individuals, and again, most people just don't understand them. And so depending on the different sites that you're on, and the offense that they claim, your post can be limited in the search results, or maybe only your followers can see you, or maybe you won't have access to certain pages, or you won't be able to comment on other people's pages. You won't be able to comment, and you can post stuff on your own page, but you won't be able to go and respond to other people's pages, whatever it is. And again, those things are all of those really obvious things, but then it's when something just doesn't, I don't know what it is, because I watched the numbers, and there's no one magical thing. That's the reason why I can't answer what it is because there's no one magical solution, and there's a lot. In fact, it was probably a good point to bring up. There's a lot of places on the internet that'll promise to tell you if you've been shadow banned. They can somehow check to see if you're shadow banned, but I would suggest that it's all pretty speculative, and I certainly would not be giving anybody access to my social media pages, or no giving of passwords, and maybe I don't even know if I share a username necessarily. Obviously, that's how you connect with everybody across social media, so it shouldn't be a big deal, but obviously, you cannot be giving out a password to anybody. I wouldn't trust any of them to be particularly accurate, because they could be scamming you. And then on top of that, we know that the social media sites, these places that we're talking about, they alter. They're constantly refining the algorithms, and they're constantly changing pages and their procedures and their internal the things that they suggest are part of their standards. These things are always changing, and the fact is that you can't use most social sites' own documentation to find the answer or solve a problem that you have. If you're looking for to solve a particular issue that you're having with Facebook, good luck using the help menus provided by Facebook, because it'll tell you click on this, click on that, click on that, and then that menu won't be there. That third menu or that first menu won't even be there, and they've changed it to something else, or it's buried in some other place under security or settings or something. It's just somewhere, and good luck finding that stuff. You can't even get a decent walkthrough that doesn't break down the second that they change a part of any of their systems, and it's in constant flux. Maybe not constant change, but it's a constant flux. There's this definite, because they're always introducing new things. They're always trying to fix things that don't work, and they're always trying to refine how the algorithms manage the hierarchy of the information that we're sifting through, because the information comes from all of these different sources. You see it all in one place, but it's coming from all of these different sources, and those are just so many of the factors that have to be considered in what you would think to tell somebody to sort of break down what's going on, what they don't see in the background, and why what these algorithms are doing. And so I give this basic example, and it's to imagine the social media content like little decks of cards. This is really perfect for me because of all the games and things with the comic book shop, Amazing Fantasies, Topeka, Kansas. Imagine the social media and the way it's distributed is like decks of cards that the cards are shuffled around between. So you can imagine the platform itself, the social media platform, as a sort of dealer. we can talk about that. In so much as that it controls the algorithms and allows you to see content that you're not looking for necessarily. That's part of the algorithm. That's part of these cards from these different decks that are being shuffled to you to look through. And that's the crux of the problem. It's managing all of these various places across that social platform. We're mostly, you know, not actively seeking the content. It's coming to us, right? We're letting it be delivered to us. And then on top of that, most of us don't know how to manipulate the stuff, to manage the content itself. And so it takes a lot of work to manage a social media account really successfully, and exponentially more so to manage an active social media account, and exponentially beyond that to manage one that is even more active, a really active and popular social media account. I have active social media accounts. Whether they're popular or not is relative to the people who have millions of followers, and so I fall somewhere in a percentage that you would be surprised what it is, but so could anybody just reaching out, because most people have zero. So there's two extremes. Everybody else in the middle somewhere is just kind of really comfortable. It's actually kind of nice. So you have this social media platform, this dealer serving up these cards that represent all of these people and these pages and these groups that are on the social media site that you like or that you visit. You can visit one of these pages or a person's page, a group, something like that on the social media, and you take one of these cards and you place it on top of your deck of cards. And you already have a deck of cards, and that's your wall. That's the thing that you go and you look at. That's your deck, your main deck of cards, where you're grabbing all these cards from all these different places across the social media, and you're stacking them on top of each other. Every time you go to a new page and like a new one, it just went on top of the last one that you stacked it on. And while that's going on, all your friends and all the pages and things that cross over, and the algorithms telling you, oh, maybe you might like this because your friend over there likes this, and those are associated with these things that you've already suggested that you like. You went and visited the page. I saw you pull the card and put it in your deck. Clearly you like it. You want to see it, so you want to see some more of it. That's being shoved into your deck at the same time. And of course, the platform itself is delivering things like ads. And then there's people paying for the ads. And each one of these things that I'm talking about represents a bunch of different decks of cards where the cards, you either go and you pull these cards and you put them into this stack yourself, and you're looking through the stack. You're literally looking through the stack trying to find the people, pages, things that you want to follow and what they posted, generally speaking. That's what you're doing. And as you're stacking on top of you, you're pushing those earliest ones and the last one down further every time. Every time you pick up a new one, every time you like a new page, every time you follow a new person, every time you visit, and the system wants to say, hey, well, they probably like that thing. Well, maybe we'll show them some more stuff like that. You didn't choose to take a card back. You didn't send. Even if you don't like or follow a page, you still just get this card. It just places itself on the top or someplace into your deck of cards there that represents your overall interests and the things that you want to see. And of course, the things that the platform thinks you might want to see. And then that's to serve up similar content, to serve up the ads. And all of these things, they're all competing for that same space. And it requires a hierarchical management. And that's what the algorithms, the rhythms are for. And depending on the social media site, your input versus your friend's input versus the social media site's input versus paid advertising's input, these things, they're all weighted. One's more important than the other. One's more less important than another. One may be more important at certain times than another. And it fluctuates, and it can go back and forth. So go back to your earliest likes and follows, however long ago it was that you were on the page. And you're not like me. You don't curate your page. That's where we're getting at, because most people don't. I have all along. All along, particularly on Facebook, I have blocked people, pages, groups, things all along. Advertisements, you name it. If I don't want to see it, I want to see it. I block it, and I block it, and I block it from day one. And so I see what I want to see. I see who I want to see. I curate my page. But if you go back and you look at those earliest likes and the follows, what I'm talking about is you go back all the way back to the beginning some years ago, and you had a few friends, and it was just a few pages that you liked, and then really there weren't even that many people on the platform, right? You certainly didn't know them all on the platform, and you hadn't found all the groups and the pages and things yet, and they weren't even there to create those groups and those pages yet. The people weren't even there yet. And so it's really, really easy to see what interests you at that time, because it's just a really small deck of things that you're shuffling around through there and looking at, and that's not, you know, that intersection. That's not considering that intersection of all the other content of pages and everything. It's just that stack of things that you like. If it's only stacked with the things that you like, but now obviously it's more than that. There's all the things that are interesting, new things into the deck, and all the things that are trying to be balanced by the algorithm, like I'm saying. It all has to be managed in there somehow, and it's a juggling trick. It's a balancing act all at the same time, because as you change one, it messes with the other, and as the program grows bigger, the site grows bigger, which is the program growing bigger because it's offering more functions and more places to be, and the stacks have to grow. And sometimes when they started out, they limited the size of the stacks, and now the stacks don't fit anymore, and so they have to go back and they have to change the size of the stacks of the decks so that you can get more cards. And there's all these things that are relatively true for every single one of these sites in terms of having to go through old code. You dig through old code and you try to eliminate it, you try to replace it with better, more efficient code, but the fact is that at a point, without just stopping, resetting, re-uploading everything, you're building on something that was flawed to begin with, because it wasn't what was pictured. It's not what it is now, let alone what was ultimately pictured. And so it's changed, and so it didn't serve. That's what they talk about when they talk about whether your website or your database, these tools in your business, whether or not they will scale. When they're talking about scalability, that's what they mean. They mean, will it grow with you? Will you start out with the base set of tools and build on that without causing the base set of tools to not function properly, basically, is what they're saying, or to otherwise become obsolete because they're no longer in use. They no longer meet the needs on the other end. You've scaled past them. That's what they're talking about, scalability. So it's just this struggle of trying to figure out, and then throw in there the political nonsense, throw in there the social nonsense, throw in there the idea that somebody should be controlling what people say. When it was the wild, wild west of the internet, and there weren't that many algorithms, and there weren't that many people complaining, and there weren't that many people to sort of cater to, it wasn't as big of a problem. It's the same thing, right? There's just not that much of it there, so it's not that big of a problem. But as it grows, you can't roll the clock back. You can't strip it back down. You can't shut off Facebook for even a day and expect everybody to return, particularly if they have to return to something they didn't recognize from the day before. It's just not going to work. And that's why they screw up things. They make huge errors. The biggest one that I've noted over the years is that, particularly with Facebook, is that they did some update at one point that ultimately that refollowed everybody that you had ever unfollowed before. It was pretty crazy. It was a wild thing to have to consider because, again, I've been on it for years by the time they did this. So you could probably go back and find the show me talking about this a time or two over the years when it happened and then after it's happened, just referencing it as I am now. So it's this thing that it happened. It was a big deal. And I don't know if anybody ever addressed it. Never went. It was obvious. It happened to me. I know. I've curated my page all of these years. I know what I've unfollowed, generally speaking, and who I've unfollowed. And when I see people pop back up that I unfollowed, I know. At first, it's like, oh, there's no way. Obviously, I just didn't unfollow this person, right? Except for you would go to unfollow that person because you saw that comment and you thought, oh my, this is stupid. This guy's dumb. I don't want to see this guy's stuff up here. And I unfollowed it. I thought I unfollowed it before, but I guess not. Maybe I was just thinking about it because I'll do that. I'll see something stupid and I'll say, you know what? It's the first time I've seen that guy say something. It's, maybe the next time he comes back around, he's a little smarter and I'll see him say something stupid again and then I'll unfollow him. But the obvious dead giveaway that I was right, that I am right, that it was a mistake on their, it was Facebook's fault, they did it, was the fact that you would go to that person that you knew you unfollowed, but you're suddenly following them again, and you would go to unfollow them, and it would say you were unfollowing them, that you had already unfollowed them. So you'd have to refollow them again and then unfollow them again. And I know that's just too many stupid words with the word "allow" in them all at one time, but you get the point. The point is that they're just changing these things all the time, and they're messing with these things all the time, and they're trying to find a balance, and if you think you're being shadow banned, if the guy that you follow says he's being shadow banned, ask why. Ask yourself why. Go look at the numbers. Use the tools, because that's it. Hit the important points of it. You have these different sources of information that are shuffling in and stacking up on this deck and putting all, they're stacking on top of each other ultimately. So every time you visit another page or whatever, the stack gets bigger and it gets harder to see, and you have to go through and you have to interact with those other pages and those other people and those other things to show that you're still interested, to get those cards to shuffle back up to the top of importance. And there are different tools and things that you can use, and this is what I talk about, because this is the solution. It's not to sit there and point and say that my free speech is on the line, because it's a platform, it's somebody else's platform, it's not free speech. There's some question of that in there when there's manipulation by government and things like this, and when the manipulation is done for political reasons, but ultimately it's a private platform. They're allowing you to platform on their space, even though you created it. And I'm the first person to say that they don't exist without us. If we hadn't created for the pages for them to call a platform on, it would just be people's walls. Instagram is kind of like that. It's just people's walls. But the you know, with all these things being shuffled in there, you have to curate, you have to manage it. That's your solution to your experience on social media. It's about your input. Just like you're interacting with people and not getting banned or not having them respond negatively to you is in how you interact with them. If you approach them with the wrong language and accusatory positions and political positions that are opposed to their ideas and all of these other things, instead of just simple truths and fact and respect for the conversation, otherwise why the hell are you having the conversation? If you don't respect the conversation of the person, just go away, shut your face, just go do something else with your time. That person doesn't need your negative input. You don't need to provide negative input. It's not good for you. It's no more good for you than it is for them. Don't do it. Just simply don't do it. Remember what mommy used to say: if you don't have anything nice to say about somebody, don't say anything at all. Just keep your thoughts and your words to yourself. That's a good idea. You can do it on social media. It's actually really, really easy to do on social media, and it's something that I think people need to practice a lot more of in our current reality. But it's a curation. It's a curation of your life and your attitude, your sort of social media page and your presence on social media, and how you're responded to by people across social media, not just your friends, but strangers, is an example of how you would behave in life, or more to the point, you should be behaving on the internet like you would behave in life. If you would not disrespect somebody with unnecessary words, with hateful comments, then don't. Don't do it. If you wouldn't do it to their face, don't do it across a computer. And I'm not telling you that you can't have your opinions. I don't care about your opinions. Have them. Have them about me. Have them about anyone else. But don't blame a polite society for trying to find a comfortable space to allow you to be who you want to be, but not let you offend everybody else unnecessarily, particularly on somebody else's platform. And that really it comes down to in the end, right? Is if you think that your free speech isn't being exercised properly on somebody else's platform, then platform yourself. And you say, how do you do that? Well, here I am. You may be listening to me on any other platform, but my platform is my website, my computer, my microphone. It's all mine. Unless you come and take me away or physically take all of these things away from me, I have my own platform. This is my, you know, you can't stop me. You go toward anarchy.com, take it down, contact my the host, and say that it's hate-filled, and convince them to block me. You know, obviously I would have a chance to argue that it wasn't, and I could prove that it wasn't, and in the end you would lose. But let's just say, for the sake of argument, that they did shut me down. I would just take my domain and host it on my own computer. Or somebody else's computer somewhere else. I could host it on my phone if I wanted to. I can host it on the blockchain. You can't stop me. So if you don't like what the platform is doing and don't want to follow the platform rules, and you keep thinking, well, they don't want to hear me here, well, maybe it's because they don't want to hear you there, and maybe you need to go platform yourself somewhere else. I don't know, maybe not. Maybe you have every reason to think that you have a right to be on their platform and say what you want to say without any reservation and without them being able to say anything about it. I don't think you do. I don't think that's the way private property works. I don't think you could go into somebody's house and just start screaming in their face, F you effing piece of trash, you will let me say what I want to say here, and I'll do it, and I'll stay here all day long, and I'll just run and scream and holler and act like a 2-year-old, and there's not a thing you can do about it, because I grab you by the cuff of your collar and I will toss you right on your your backside right out the door of my private property. And it should be no different with Facebook and X and Instagram and any one of these other places. Play by the rules and you can say what you want to say. I've had a little experience here and there with them trying to silence me, and I've fought against it at different times, and I've won some and I've lost some, but in the end, those things amounted to my poor choice of language. Whether I felt justified in the use of that language or not, it ultimately was something that wasn't acceptable to the platform, and they said, no, don't do it. So that's it. That's shadow bans for you. That's my thoughts, my take on it. And the whole point of it is that it's not a mystery. It's really not a mystery why their information doesn't get out there. Just listen to them talk and you see why some of the information doesn't get out there and why somebody would want to just be like, well, I'm not following that. I'm not clicking like on that. It's bad enough I even saw it. Do me a favor. Click that like button. If there's just one person you think would get something out of the show, share it with them. If you're on the network, stick around. There's another hour coming up and a great conversation. Otherwise, visit towardanarchy.com, and we'll see you on the next one.
There's a reason why you separate military and the police. One fights the enemy, the state. The other serves and protects the people. When the military becomes both, then the enemies of the state tend to become the people.
You're listening to Toward Anarchy on the Republic Broadcasting Network.